I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 30. And Nate's on assignment. And no NASCAR car tonight, Christian.
What?
But instead, one of the most iconic sports prototype cars in history. Especially the early mid-1990s to the early 2000s, the Ferrari 333 SP. For $1 million, it was a turnkey race car, and you too could race IMSA in it.
That car doesn't suck?
Does not suck. It is the brainchild of one Dr. Giampiero Moretti, who owns Momo Steering Wheels, who petitioned Ferrari to build the car. Had a 4-liter V12 engine, and the chassis was a Dallara chassis. Oh, it's just fantastic. It was a fantastic time in IMSA. Anyways. All right. No, Nate, there we go. All right, tonight's episode, we'll talk NASCAR. The playoffs, the chase continues. In our backyard, New Hampshire. Well, for some of us. The USA Today 301. We'll discuss Formula One. I don't get this in Azerbaijan, but they call it the Land of Fire. Why is it the Land of Fire, Christian? Can you tell me?
The land. No, that mixed up with a different country.
That's what they call it.
I'm thinking of Japan, but that's the Land of the
Rising. Ah, yes. And then we'll move on to IMSA, the Battle of the Bricks, 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
We have some news and notes. This weekend, lots to look forward to this weekend. We have WEC at Fuji? Do we? Is it this weekend?
Yes, it is. Speaking of the Land of the Rising Sun.
Speaking of the Land of the Rising Sun, Fuji. WEC. Yes. That'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. That was on top of like 2 weeks ago, the 6 hours of the Thousands K of Suzuka. So that's pretty cool.
Yep.
It's been a busy time in Japan. And then we have NASCAR runs this weekend, of course. This weekend is Kansas, and it's called the Hollywood Casino Thrill 400, but it's in Kansas. Brilliant marketing there. But this weekend is the most anticipated debut for a rookie driver in the VLN series.
Oh, that's
right. Care to guess who'll be making his debut?
It's none of the Franz Herman.
A.K.A. Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
Guess what he's doing tonight, or he did tonight?
He's sim race?
Yes.
Shock.
On the Nürburgring, too.
Where else would he be driving?
All right. Well, let's get to NASCAR. Good weekend for me, because one of my favorite drivers, Ryan Blaney, took the win. followed home by Josh Berry, who had a spin in the race and finished second. William Byron third. One of my least favorite drivers, Joey Logano, was fourth. Chase Elliott, Christopher Bell again, Kyle Larson, Michael McDowell, Chastain, and Briscoe round out the top 10. This race was highlighted. Country Tomp. Teammates. As Denny Hamlin, who's in the playoffs, took out Ty Gibbs. It was fantastic. That little punk had it coming to him, too. You would think that you would yield to your teammate who's in the playoffs. You know, let him buy you. You know? Mm-hmm. No. Decided to race him hard for five laps. And almost walled. He almost walled Denny once. And then Denny said, enough of this. And then took care of it himself. Quite sure that went well with Denny meeting up with Ty's grandfather and team owner after the race. I'm sure that went well. But anyways, who cares? Don't have Nate here to really kind of dissect and analyze the race, but good for Blaney. So, all right, off to Kansas. And it's not a cut race yet, so we'll see what happens. All right, let's get to it. Formula One in Azerbaijan. And two in a row. It's like the old days.
I'm sorry, what which series are we on?
Formula One.
F1. Jeez.
Yeah. My bad. Well, I wasn't like NASCAR gave it about as much as I could.
No, that's I'll be honest, I kinda like spaced out when you were talking NASCAR because I didn't watch anything.
Well, how could you not? I mean,
actually, the only thing I did watch was the last five laps of the modifieds race.
Oh yeah,
because that's always the best. And I can't even remember his name who won, but
it was Ryan Preece. Didn't Ryan Preece win?
No. One of the brothers that's very good.
Bonsignors?
Yes, they finished second, and it was a new guy that won. So,
oh, okay.
And he made like a nice little bump and run on the last
which is fine in modified totally racing.
It was yep. Fun. And then they
I don't see get guys out of modified cars and throw stuff
actually,
at each other.
Actually, he won it with three wheels across the line.
Oh yeah, that's right. I did see that.
Because
he crossed the line with three wheels.
He tried to pinch him in the wall and then just like ripped his wheel off in the process.
That's right. All right, I remember that. I did see that highlight.
Sorry.
Anyways, right. I should have watched the race. It was on YouTube. I just didn't get to it. Because I had to rewatch I had to watch the 6 hours of Indianapolis, but I didn't have a chance. Mm-hmm. So,
all right. F1. What were we saying?
It's two in a row. It's like old times.
Oh yeah,
he's on a roll.
Yeah, I was listening to our other favorite podcast, Box of Neutrals.
Oh,
and yeah. They were okay. One of the guys goes, you know, I was like doing whatever when the podium was going on, and Max was up there and the national anthem playing, and he was like, it just felt right, you know, just everything's normal.
the Dutch and Austrian national anthem.
Yeah, it's like it's just status quo as is. Like this is what it's been for the past four years, you know.
Yep. Who knows? It could be more of this coming along. Anyway, it was a wild weekend. Did not start off strong for McLaren and Oscar Piastri as he had an engine issue in FP1. Mm-hmm. That was followed up by an FP2 session, which was marred by a crash. Mm-hmm. I think Lando bounced it off the wall There were a couple other crashes too. From various drivers. That was good. And then qualification. Now, last week we had F1's shortest race. I mean, I shouldn't say shortest. I mean, fastest race in terms of time. This weekend we had F1's longest qualifying session.
Yes.
Six red flags.
And the
six.
The interesting stat that was it was brought up.
It literally took 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. So it qualifying for the Azerbaijan Grand Prix was longer than the Azerbaijan Grand Prix itself.
Grand Prix. Yeah.
But this the ironic thing with this statement was with how chaotic qualifying was for this week, it comes off the back of Monza, which was the shortest race ever in F1 history, which right before the Grand Prix went off was when Domenicali was talking about making Grand Prix shorter in length.
Yeah.
And it was like, all right, like it making the races, even after having the shortest Grand Prix in history in Monza, it wasn't any more entertaining than what some of the other races have been. And you could argue that qualifying for Baku was actually more entertaining, even though that took way longer than the race.
It was like steam your pants stuff. You just kept waiting for somebody to do something. But
yeah. And I mean, granted, like, there was a lot of waiting time for when the cars would go out and then they'd crash and then come back in.
Yeah. So. Come back in. Yeah. But at the end of the day, as we proceeded through, we had a little bit of weather.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of vaulted one Carlos Sainz to the top of the timesheets.
El Matador.
Smooth operator. And the question was, could he outlast the red flags to claim his first pole position with William?
Yeah. He was sitting pretty, but got outdone by the only driver.
Just a little too much time.
Yeah.
On the clock. I think one more red flag, he would have had it.
Yeah.
Like somewhere in the session, he would have had it. He probably would have had it.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to Max, as we came down to the end, the guys on our favorite podcast alluded to this, the British bias with Lando,
mm-hmm.
like they're like, he's on a fast one.
For context too, this is on the impartial Sky Sports broadcast that broadcasts to the world feed.
Also on F1 TV too.
Oh, that's right.
It was the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the same on both. Because we do have British
mm-hmm.
broadcasters, except when there's a Canadian guy, James Hinchcliffe, a Colombian.
That's right.
Montoya.
Yeah.
And then all right, or in, Europe, we get the one, the only, David Valsacchi.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys this weekend were like going nuts. They thought he was gonna like clean house and on this lap. Comes down the straightaway, crosses the line, seventh.
Yeah,
it's like I almost fell out of their chairs. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh well, Carlos still has a chance. Except Max is out there, literally
lighting the world on fire.
In order to go fast, you go slow.
Yeah.
And he didn't overdrive the car.
No.
He drove the car probably on 7/10. Put it on pole. I mean, granted, the car is better than the Williams, but in those conditions, That was amazing.
Yeah, it was another great lap, and I mean, I think Carlos even said it later on. He was like, if I had to get beat by one driver, like it's Max. Like,
yeah, no, that's true.
So
it was, yeah, it was entertaining. So Max grabs pole. Carlos goes third, right? No, second, right? And then who grabbed third? Was it Hadjar? No. Nope.
One, Liam Lawson.
Oh, Liam Lawson. That's yeah. Right. Sorry.
Yeah, he put in...
Congratulations to Liam.
Yes, he put in a great lap and a very...
Yeah.
Ultimately in the race, he finished off the podium, but it was his best drive of the season.
Right.
At a time where he definitely needed it.
Yep. No, 100% agree. Yep. So that was fantastic. And then the McLaren guys, we had Oscar crashing. He basically started from the back.
Wait,
Lando.
Oscar was starting ninth because he was out
after Leclerc. After Leclerc. Right. So there was just some fantastic driving going on. and then Lando stuck at seventh. So, I mean, so they had some work to do. And honestly, McLaren all week was kind of out to lunch, period. So wasn't the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, so we moved to race day. And it was one of our favorite announcements said, "Lights out and away we go." And Max took the lead, and Max ran off into the distance.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the race to watch the entire time was Carlos, and where he was going to finish.
Yeah, and actually, that group there was kind of jockeying back and forth with the pit stops and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had George kind of moving up. We had Kimi moving up. We had the V-cab car, firing around. So, I mean, it was pretty good, you know. And then, you know, out of nowhere, Yuki shows up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a strong weekend for Red Bull in general across the board.
Yeah. All four cars scored points this weekend.
Yes. Yeah, and three of them were in the top five.
Yep.
Or I'm sorry.
Top six.
Yeah.
And Hadjar was 10th.
Right.
Yeah. So that was a good weekend for them.
Mm-hmm.
George, I'll give him credit. Was not feeling well. Finished second. So good on him. Just I think that was more good strategy, and he's slightly better car than the Williams, so good on him. But Carlos showed resilience and stayed in there. Now, great point was made, was had Williams decided to start Carlos on the hard compound, I think he would have finished second. I'm not gonna say he's gonna win, but I think his pace would have stayed, he would have been better off starting on the hard, and because I think he would have been in a better position to finish second.
Yeah, maybe. I think ultimately they played it probably about as perfect as they could have, because for the first stint, what really helped Carlos out was Liam being able to hold up everyone behind him, because it was pretty clear that the Williams was ahead in terms of pace of the Racing Bull.
Yeah.
But two things I want to get to. One, and they were both post race interviews. One was with Lawson and JPM. And then the other one was with James Vowles.
Mm-hmm.
From James's point of view, I think he, with some, with recognizing reality, he knew that he probably couldn't hold off both Mercedes at the same time. However, you could definitely hold off one and try and get the podium. So that was definitely a good move, which also it was a bit more solidified with Carlos's decision to be proactive in when he wanted to pit, when he came over the radio of what he would like. So that's always good to have both sides of the pit wall working in unison together.
Yes.
And then getting to JPM's comment to Lawson when he was talking to him, he told Liam like that he made it look easy to hold the guys off, but like to as the discussion went on, it was clear like Liam was not like it was not an easy task by any means, but he made it look easy because the way he was managing his battery power the entire time, like he whenever they got to the last sector, he just had as much battery as he needed to be able to hold off any of the cars charging behind him. And then the rest of it, he could just, you know, park the car where he needed to and didn't have to worry about it from there. So that was a great drive from Liam. And you could even see when he, the disadvantage he was at when the pit stop cycle came around and both George and Kimi got by him. Because he came out, his battery wasn't at the right spot because he was trying to tried defending earlier on in the lap a bit more than he had been. And then that's what cost him the straightaway speed when the Mercedes finally got by him.
Gotcha. Which,
you know, that's how it is, but it was you could see it kind of unfolding too of how he was doing it. It was just really impressive of seeing him finally get to showcase his talent and put it together. So hopefully he's able to do that in the remaining races, but you know, not so much have to always fend off guys, but you know, do a little bit more attacking if the car's in the right window.
Nope, you're right. You're right.
Anything else you wanted to talk
on
about?
On the race?
Yeah.
No.
Because I got one more interesting stat that I heard scrolling through social media this week was Piastri only being in the race as long as he was after he had crashed out, had more overtakes during that race than Lando did in the entirety.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So just to put that in there. And then I guess on top of more crazy stats with this win and Grand Slam that Max put together at Baku, the total number of laps led for the season broken down by driver, Max now jumps Lando to take over second place.
Oh, wow.
So.
That's crazy.
Yeah, there's just a lot of irony in some stats with the way everything has gone
you know,
these past couple weeks. And like, obviously, the next talking point after this is Max has won two in a row and McLaren's faltering. Like, how much longer can this last? And like, obviously, from a fan and entertainment perspective, I'd love to have it be drawn out, but like, the reality of it is very, very slim.
Right.
So.
Right. The starting points championship, you know, is, you know, what goes on with the McLaren cars and the McLaren drivers.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, Max is going to do everything he can to, place as well as he can. But, it really comes down to what those drivers do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's really where it is.
Yeah. And, the one other thing I want to touch on is Piastri's retirement now ends his, consecutive point scoring streak,
mm-hmm.
for races. He's like short. I know he was in like the top five of all time. Cause I think if he had finished out the season, with no retirements or no finishes outside the points, then he would have broken the record.
Yeah.
So he's up there at the top, but I remember mentioning this a couple weeks ago, cause either the Boston Neutral guys said it or someone else did. And so statistically, this race was kind of due for him just because no one really does that or has this many races without an issue. It was definitely self-inflicted, which is the unfortunate thing for Oscar, because the way the weekend was panning out with Lando, I don't think Oscar really needed to try and do anything. And he's also in a position where he can do kind of damage limitation for a few races and not have to be in a an all-out panic mode yet. So
yeah,
but at the end of the race, he's got a full race weekend's worth of points ahead of Lando, 25.
Yeah.
Obviously, and then there's a couple of sprint rounds left, so there's 33, I think, on those weekends. But I mean, speaking of real Grand Prix and not these fake races, that's that.
Yep. All right. Should we take a look at the standings real quick?
Yes. Yeah.
Oscar.
I have a couple Oscar more things to point out.
Oscar has 25 points on Lando. Lando's got 44 on Max. Max has 43 on George, and there's a huge drop off to Leclerc. So let's take a look at go to the Constructors Championship. McLaren's still running away. Now it's getting very tight in the second to third to fourth position. Mercedes second, 290. Ferrari 4 points behind at 286. Red Bull, with essentially a one-man driving unit, is 14 points behind Ferrari.
Yeah. Just to kind of build off of that, so even with all the craziness going on this week, Sainz with his podium jumps up to 12th in the standings, whereas Albon is up in 8th. Right. And Albon
Williams has now solidified a top 5 position.
Yeah, pretty much. Barring any, I mean, I think the Racing Bulls are probably the closest team to overcome them.
I 100% agree.
Having the potential to overcome them.
Yep.
But with that said, Albon is nearly double the amount of points ahead of Hadjar, 70 to 39. Mm-hmm. There really is like a lot of the midfield in this points range from.
Yeah.
I mean, ninth where Hadjar is 39. And then, I mean, you can even go right down to the bottom of the table with Behrman in 19th at 16 points. So, I mean,
right.
29 points covering all of them. And then, but if you want to focus on the core of it, it's really 9th to 16th where it's mm-hmm. 20 points, or I'm sorry.
Gotcha.
15th, my bad, where it's 39 to 28. So it's only 11 points. And that's where a lot of movement can happen.
Yes, I would agree there.
But like you mentioned earlier with Max being a one-man team, Yuki, with now, you know, I'd probably say 75% of the races this year at Red Bull, is still behind Liam Lawson in points.
Yes.
So
that is correct.
It just doesn't. I'm just kind of lost for words because this move, or the switch between the two drivers, clearly hasn't done anything between either of them.
For anybody, yeah.
So
yeah.
It hasn't
accomplished a thing.
Yeah. And I would argue with Liam's form the last, I mean, really the last of the races that have taken place so far, the last half of them,
yeah,
he's been in a decent spot where he's scoring points, you know, every other race kind of deal.
Yep, agree.
Whereas, you know, Yuki, yeah, he's the past two out of three races he's scored points. But again, the sixth place finish at Baku was his best finish of the year. Before that, his highest finish was ninth. So, and just because I find it an interesting note, the most irrelevant driver on the grid is Franco Colapinto in my eyes.
Right.
I mean, you see his name once in a while, but he has not made like any headlines or anything like that. It still has failed to, that second Alpine car has failed to score a point. Meanwhile, Gasly has had a couple point scorers, scoring races here and there.
Yeah.
The second Alpine car is nowhere.
And then what we got next is Singapore. Then we have the swing to U.S., Mexico, Brazil, and Las Vegas. So the question is if there's any tracks in there that can, you know, Red Bull find anything?
I mean, I think, well, Singapore will definitely be tough because it's not been their track the past couple of years.
Right.
So, COTA could be theirs, with the trend of how Monza and Baku have gone. I wouldn't be surprised if Mexico is a track that favors them. Same with Las Vegas.
Yep.
I would say
not so sure about Brazil.
Brazil needs to be a wet race again.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think the team that could benefit from Brazil is Mercedes.
Yeah. I think Mercedes could pick off one of the U.S. races, I think. It would just be kind of a quiet, like, finish how they had this past weekend at Baku.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't win the race, but, you know, had second and fourth wrapped up.
Yeah.
I mean, Qatar and Abu Dhabi. I would favor Max and Red Bull because they've just been the strong car there the past few years.
Yeah.
And then Qatar, I would say, is probably McLaren because I think they won that race handily last year.
Yeah.
But it just takes a weekend like this for everything to unravel. So
we shall see.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's move on to IMSA.
Yes.
And congratulations to Cadillac on a 1-2 finish. Very sloppy race to start.
Oh, yeah.
Then followed up by some very good racing with some, you know, which makes, you know, multi-class sports car racing, you know, fun is, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You know, yellow flags, things like that. So it turned into quite a race with the Action Express Whelen Cadillac of Jack Aiken, Earl Bamber, and Frederick Vasti taking the win over Ricky Taylor and Philippe Albuquerque with the hard-charging Shank Racing, Michael Shank Racing Acura of Blomqvist and Braun rallying from a dead last starting position in GTP to come up third. Had this race gone another hour, I think they would have been your winner.
Yeah, it was definitely shaping up to be pretty interesting there at the end, and but with how many cautions were coming out at the times they were, if you thought you were out of the race, you definitely weren't. You had plenty of opportunities to get back in.
Yep.
So.
Yep. BMW with a fourth and a sixth place finish. The other MSR Acura was fifth. I'd like to give a shout out to both the Lamborghini and Aston Martin team. Finishing 10th and 11th. On the lead lap after 6 hours.
Yeah.
So well done to them.
Yep. I mean, really, all the GTPs except one Penske Porsche did not finish in the lead lap.
Yeah, it was a rough outing for the Penske Porsche guys.
Yeah.
I'm trying to just see. Taking a look here. Sorry. They all finished, but yeah, they all finished.
Yeah, everyone finished. The number 7 Penske Porsche was just the only one that finished the lap down.
Yep. No, you're right. The LMP2 class, great to have them back.
Mm-hmm.
that was a little bit of a fender bender throughout the race. But the winners were TDS Racing, Hunter McAleer, Mikael Jensen, and Stephen Thomas with the win, followed by the Inter Europol team, and then the Riley team, George Gar Robinson, Philippe Fraga, Jay Bird, were third. I think they have one more outing, the Riley guys. And then Gar's going off and doing something else.
Just cause, or?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean.
Talked about Brazilian stock car racing.
That
off-road racing, too, they were talking about.
Yeah, that would be interesting for sure.
Yep, GTD Pro, Ford with the win, Rockefeller and Prio, Albert Costa and David A. Regan were second in the Dragon Speed Ferrari, and Paul Miller Racing was third with Dylan Harper and Michael Hesse. We had Corvette fourth and Corvette sixth. Not a good day for Rexy. Tough one. Finished 7th.
Yeah.
I guess that happens.
Mm-hmm.
In GTD, the Inception race in Ferrari of Brendan Uribe, Frank Schalborf, and Oliver Milroy was first. The right, Motorsports guys were third in their Porsche in Conquest Racing. So it was a Ferrari 1-3 with the good folks from Turner Motorsports fourth. Next up, the final race of the season.
Petit
Le Mans. Very exciting.
Yep. And that race is in 2 weeks on the
2 weeks. Yeah. 11th and 12th.
Columbus Day weekend.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Very exciting for that. That's going to be a good race. Hopefully the weather, I'm hoping it doesn't rain.
Yeah, well, I mean, I hope there's enough headlights on a few cars this time around. Not that that wasn't one of the coolest things
to
watch, but
yeah, I know, but it was a bit controversial.
Oh yeah,
to say the least. Mm-hmm. Anyways, all right.
Actually, speaking of the Brickyard, Indianapolis apparently has been doing some track work.
Yeah, digging up the track surface. Yes, yeah, I saw that.
And, this was after the battle, the Brickyard.
Why would you do it during the race?
Yeah, I know.
And the reason for it was they're trying to smooth some bumps out.
Yes, yeah, they're trying to do some track repairs. However, because of how far they dug underneath, they took the opportunity and drilled the hole far down to see the original bricks,
mm-hmm.
Which is cool. And they said that they were documenting the process, so there will be some video or thing that comes out after
they did pull up a slab of the original track too.
Yes,
it was crazy.
Yeah,
absolutely crazy. It's great stuff. I love that they do when they do stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember in the they've done stuff like this before too. Because in the museum that's within the track, they do have in a case
some of the core samples.
The core sample, yeah. So you can see each of the layers.
Yeah,
which is really neat to see the history of it, and they have it, you know. Poster behind it documenting each year of where the layers were and when they raced them, mm-hmm. They did so. But yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's just see some news and notes.
There's some IndyCar news in terms of drivers.
Oh, yeah.
It more just like solidified some stuff. First big one is Dennis Hauger is going to Dale Coyne.
Yep.
And this also comes off the back of a technical partnership announcement between Andretti and Dale Coyne Racing.
And further news broke before the broadcast tonight.
Yes.
On the Andretti front. That former Penske higher up Ron Rozinski has joined them.
Yeah.
As head of racing. What is his title?
I don't know. They put a title to it, but they got him.
Hold on. Yeah, he's I think like team principal.
Yeah.
And that's what he. Let's give it the head guy.
Yeah. But when
it's pretty good for him.
Before. All the pieces started moving. All the pieces started moving around. I had initially thought Hauger was going to go to Andretti if Colton left.
Right.
But obviously, when Will Power got announced, I was like, "All right, well,
mm-hmm.
Where's Hauger going? Because he's clearly too good for Indy NXT. So where is he going to go? And then." I saw the announcement for him with Dale Coyne first, and I was like, "Oh, that's odd." And then the technical partnership announcement came up later, so I was like, "All right, that that there's the puzzle fitting together on that one. And then the other news I saw was Jack Harvey is confirmed to run
Yes.
in at Indy for next year.
We try a Rhine Bowl
Yep.
again. Yep.
Well, sorry, I shouldn't say he's confirmed for the race. He's confirmed at making an
As an
attempt to
entry.
qualify. Yeah, for the race, he's going to be an entry.
Yes. Yep.
And then was there another one that I'm missing?
The other one was Malukas got officially named.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So the one that's out there no one knows right now is what's going on in Rhenus and
Right.
who's taking the second seat at Dale Coyne. So there's still some pieces moving there. So
Yeah.
we shall see. Just trying to see what else, what else, what else? Oh, Formula One. Christian Horner has officially left.
Oh, yeah.
So, and he got a rumored $80 to $100 million package.
Oh no, that's terrible. That
Terrible.
he had to leave. Oh no,
Well,
as he takes his money full of,
yep.
or suitcase full of money.
What do you, yeah, that's what happens when you can somebody and they got an agreement. So,
Yeah.
good on Christian.
Yep. Who knows? Maybe he'll return with another team.
That's 100% true. Lots of rumors flying around about that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Trying to see. Oh yeah, Max. Just for folks out there that want to have an interesting read, the good folks at Daily Sports Car wrote an article on 24 Hours with Ben Keating. It was actually pretty good. So it's a good read. Gives some insight into Ben and his off-field business activities, off-field, off-track. And his life outside the track and then his life at the track. So that was pretty good. Also, I guess the folks from WEC TV were also part of that. So they'll probably have some kind of video thing as the season winds down. As you mentioned earlier, Max will be contesting this weekend at the NLS 59 and a Ferrari 296 from Emil Ferrari Racing.
All right.
You know who his co-driver is? It Chris Lalonde? He's got one co-driver. Is that what he's got? Oh yeah, Chris Lalonde. Yeah, part of Verstappen.com Racing. So those guys all part of the online community.
Willem is one of his
Sim racing
subscribers.
guys he's bringing to the track.
And Chris is very good. So,
He is. He is.
and this is not the first time he's hopped in a race car.
Hopped in with
He's
Max.
not just with Max, but in a GT3 car. He won
Yep.
the gold class, I think the gold class it was for, in the Spa 24 Hours, where they drove the Aston Martin there. And he's also
Oh, that's right.
been doing a couple
Max didn't
other.
drive that.
No, he didn't,
That's right.
but he had a team entered in it.
Right. And he had tested there with the car.
Yes. Why can't I find? Here it is. I was just curious to see who's in this race.
Yeah.
Oh, Jan Martinborough is going in there.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's where I just had him. He's in Hapt Racing in the in a Ford Mustang.
Oh.
Number nine car.
Well, that's cool. Good, because Max could be in a Ford next year.
Yeah. who else is? Is in this race? I think I'm starting to get out of the class. Yeah.
I mean, it's some decent GT3 drivers in it.
Yeah, I'm.
There's a bunch that aren't because of the Fuji race.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's. So what? There's. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, there's only 4 cars in the pro class.
Is Max one of them?
Yeah.
Oh shit! They could win.
Yeah. Well, and then I mean, if you want to throw Pro Am in there as well, then that's
yeah,
another
yeah,
1, 2, 3 teams. So it's 7. And then there's there's 1, 2, 3, another 4 Am GT3 cars.
Right.
So I mean, like technically, any of these teams can win. It's just, you know, difference of status in the FIA driver rankings.
Right.
But that they'll be. I mean, regardless of how Max does this weekend, like he's probably gonna enjoy himself a lot. I know he's gonna want to try and win, but I'm sure he's gonna have a blast.
It'll be entertaining.
And really, like if all the other good guys aren't there this weekend, it just means he can have a little bit of a warm up weekend if he wants to use it as one.
Right.
Not that he needs a warm up weekend, but
well, it'll be entertaining to say the least.
Yeah. There will definitely be a crowd at the Nordschleife.
Yes, there will be. The Verstappen orange will be there.
Mm-hmm.
What do they call it? The Dutch Army? What do they call it?
Orange Army?
The Orange Army, yeah. Well, should be interesting.
Yeah.
All right. No picks this week?
No, but we do get to enjoy the track safari this weekend.
Oh, yes, that's right.
So that will be going on in Fuji. I'm looking forward to the Fuji race. I think that'll be good.
Yep.
NASCAR is somewhere, and then MotoGP is also in Japan, and they're at Motegi.
Motegi.
Ah, that's a split weekend for Japanese motorsports fans.
Yeah, okay. Say the least.
Now I'm curious. How close is Motegi to Fuji? ¿4 hours?
Really?
And is the... God damn it. See, now I'm actually curious. Is the WEC race on Saturday and then the MotoGP race on Sunday? Or are they just both on? No.
MotoGP is definitely Sunday.
No, the WEC race is on Sunday as well.
Sunday too.
Yeah.
All right.
But all right.
Big weekend. All right. And on that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.